garden-raised tomatoes. You know what I mean? Those big, plump, juicy tomatoes that aren't under-ripened or over-ripened that you pick right off. I can eat them like apples. I just love them. I love fresh okra, too. I don't know how many of you are into that. I love everything that comes out of a garden except stuff that comes out of a garden like celery. But I've never grown celery, so I assume that if I grew celery, I might like it better. But I doubt it, because that's just horrible stuff. Anyway, I love stuff that comes fresh out of a garden. And so my wife and I, a few years ago, decided we're going to plant a garden. And so we went out there and picked all the fruit, and it was wonderful. Right? And that doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you want a garden, if you want to pick fruit from a garden that you cultivated, then you have to go out and till the soil. If you're smart, you'll kill all the weeds before. We are not that smart. So we tilled up the soil, we made pretty rows, and we planted, and we put baskets, and we watered it when we remembered to, and it only took a few days of us not tending to that garden for it to get so out of hand that it was no longer a garden. It was a weed-infested tilled area. Right? Y'all been there, right? Some of you have green thumbs. You go out there and you drop a seed in the ground and stuff pops up and you have so much produce that you're handing out free produce to everybody. By the way, my number is 956. I will take your produce. Anyway, so we get caught up in it. Some of you can go out there and you love to do it. So since you love to do it, you are meticulous about every plant out there. Some of you go out there and you have your iPhone and you put classical music on because you heard that your plants respond better to it. And you take your time with it and you polish the fruit and you put ladybugs in there so they can eat the other bugs or something. I don't know what all you do. But you take the time it takes to grow this beautiful garden. Here's the crazy thing. Do you realize that while you tilled the soil, you put the seed in the ground, and maybe even you applied the water and kept the weeds out of it, in the end, whether or not you get a crop is not dependent completely on you. When you harvest, you should recognize that it was God who did all this stuff behind the scenes that you couldn't see to make that plant grow. And so God deserves the glory. Having said that, if you go out there and you do what I do with a garden, while God will make it grow, all those weeds and all the care that I don't give to it will prevent it from growing to what it should be. The same is true of you. So the title of a series that I want to start is called Cultivate. And I want you to understand something. Growth is intentional. You can't get to where you want to go and reap the harvest you want to reap without being intentional. It does not happen accidentally. It will not happen if you don't get involved in the process. So, we're going to talk about that, but I'm using the word cultivate like this. It is to acquire or develop a quality or sentiment or skill. That's what I'm talking about, because the Bible talks about it this way as well. In 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap." You know this. Whoever sows generously will also reap. Look how good y'all are. You know the whole concept. You knew that before I read it to you. You know that if you only plant a few seeds, you're only going to get a few plants. Unless they germinate and do a whole bunch of cool stuff that God does that only God can do. But you know this, right? And so this law just makes sense. In your life, if you sow sparingly to your spiritual well-being, guess what's going to happen? You are going to reap sparingly. But if you sow generously to it, you will reap generously. So, before this service started, I had some polls on the board, and I asked these two questions. How often do you pray? That was the first question up there. How often do you pray? And so one of the questions was daily. And some of you would probably say, yes, I daily. And then the next one was at least once a week. Right? And some of you would be like, yes, at least once a week. Third one was when I need something. The fourth one was, if you would actually have done this poll, I guarantee you most of you would have checked the fourth one, no matter how your answer fit the other ones. Not as much as I should. How many of you would agree with that? I do not pray as much as I should. Okay. Second was, how often do you study your Bible? How often do you dive into Scripture? How often do you read the things in Scripture? And they were the same answers, right? I do it at least once daily, at least once a week, only when I need something. You're like, how does that work? Trust me, I know how to use the Bible for what I need. Or not nearly often enough. How many of you would say not nearly often enough? Look at that. Okay. Why did I bring that up? Because I wanted to shame you and make you feel bad about where you are in life. You know, that's why I brought that up. Here's the truth. Some of you out there are telling the truth. Some of you are like, you know, I'm really not doing it enough because I don't do it enough and I really need to do it more. Some of you would say that no matter what I said because you're just wrought with guilt about whatever I talk about or whatever is said. You're the person who's out there going, there he goes again, talking to me. I love you people, but you people need to understand that God is good. And he's good on you. So I don't want this to be one of those lessons where you take and you're like, I'm just no good. I don't want you to do that. I want you to learn how to cultivate. I want you to learn how to cultivate your spiritual well-being. And this is something you can do. And it just takes a little bit of practice. We're also told this in Scripture. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he... You're not getting something you don't put in it. He goes on. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap. I love that y'all are involved in this. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap. Oh, I got to click so y'all can see it too. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I was so excited about this garden that we planted. I was so excited that we were going to have fresh tomatoes until we left it alone for too long. And then I was so devastated that I wasn't going to get the fresh tomatoes, but not devastated enough to go out there and pull all the weeds around them. Y'all with me on this? So, I want to give you some points. And the first thing that I want you to consider is who do you want to be? This is such an important question that a lot of us never answer. We don't take the time to ask ourselves, who do I want to be? In the kingdom of God, in my daily life, who do I want to be? What do I want to cultivate? What do I want the end product to look like? How many of you think about that question? Do you ever think? I think about this question all the time. Who do I want to be? Now, if I want to be a wealthy doctor, what do I have to do? I don't want to, though. I just want to be a doctor. There are things I have to do to be a doctor, aren't there? If I want to be a lawyer, I'm really good at arguing. I'm really good at it. Can't I just be a lawyer because I think I should be? No, because in our culture, there are things you have to do to accomplish this result. If I want to be a committed, sold-out believer in Christ Jesus who looks like Christ Jesus, guess what I have to do? Something. I can't do nothing and expect to achieve this result. If I want to be like Jesus, here's a crazy thing. Then you do what Jesus did. You're like, well, Here's the cool thing, though. Accept the cross part, at least the literal cross part. You're going to have to carry a cross, but it's not going to be that cross. Do what Jesus did. And we're going to do that over the next several weeks. We're going to unpack what that actually looks like. Like, how do you pray? Why do you pray? All those questions, we're going to dive into that. Because if you know anything about Jesus, the Son of the living God, the one who at 12 years old could sit amongst the scribes and speak so eloquently that they were blown away by him. If you want to know how to be like him, then you should do what he does. That guy spent a lot of time in prayer. Something you should do. That guy spent a lot of time diving into the Word of God. You know how we know this? Because his first interaction with Satan on the temptation, do you remember what he says? For it is also written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He took it serious. And so should we. So we're going to talk about some of that through this thing. But I want to lay out the concept today, because the scripture says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus lived. Whoever wants to be in him, if your goal is to be called a Christian, you are saying, I want to live in Christ, then you should live as Christ lived. Now, where we normally go with this is a morality thing, right? We have to be perfect. I have to be good. And that's true. We'll get to that. But how did he get there? And that's the things I want to talk about. I want to look into the life of Jesus and find out how the scripture says he grew in stature and in wisdom. And in strength. How did he do that? And we too will do that in our lives. Here's another thing you need to know or consider. I will never grow what I never sow. You with me on this one? I will never grow what I never sow. I told you, I really like fresh tomatoes. I go into my backyard all the time, and there is still not a fresh tomato. Here's the crazy thing. I know I didn't plant one. So if one shows up, it's going to be awesome. By the way, if you're growing one and you need to put them somewhere, my number, I'm just kidding. I will never grow what I never sow. If you think about the first question, who do I want to be? You're not going to achieve the who if you don't first plant the seed. I love what Paul says. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered. Here's the really cool thing. God gives the increase. But you got to put the seed in the ground in your life. You can't expect to become something that you never did the first step to become. It's required. You can't achieve it. If I were to have started the sermon, and I almost started the sermon this way, how many of you wish that you were just better at this whole life thing than you are? How many of you would be like, yes, I wish I were better? Okay. It's okay to plant the seed today. You know, I remember one year my wife and I were talking about a garden. We talked about it so long that it was past gardening season. It was a good idea, though. And we could think about all this fruit and all these vegetables that we were going to get to enjoy, but we never enjoyed them because we never planted the seed. Plant the seed, people. Decide today. Not tomorrow. Not sometime in the distant future. Today. I want to be like Christ. And then you begin planting seeds in your life to accomplish this. What are some seeds you can plant? I'm going to give you two right now that you can start planting today that it will change your life. Are you ready? And we're going to talk more about both of these in the next couple of weeks. But the first thing you can start doing is you can start learning to talk to God. Prayer. It is the easiest and most difficult thing that you can do without any prior knowledge of how to. How do I pray? You ready? You open your mouth and you speak to the God who made you, and you realize that you can't fool him. One of the reasons prayer is so effective, and we'll talk about this next week, but one of the reasons prayer is so effective is because you are talking about a God who made you, who sees you, who knows you, and you can't lie to him. It's also one of the reasons you don't pray. It's also one of the reasons you don't pray is because you know this to be true. The second thing you can do is you can just dive into the word that he has given you. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully equipped for every good work. Open it. Read it. If you don't know where to start, in a couple of weeks, I'm going to tell you how to do it. But here's how you start until you get till I get there for you. Open it up and read it. I have a youth who decided to start reading scripture on his own, and he decided to start in Genesis. If you've never read Genesis and you open that up and you start reading, let me tell you what's going to happen to you. If you really read it, you're going to go, what? What's going to, in fact, that's what he did. So he texted me, what in the world is going on here? That's cool. Here's the cool thing. You open your Bible, what it'll do is it'll not only open doors for yourself as you start reading, you kind of already know where to go to get some answers. Call somebody. Talk to somebody. There's somebody in your life that can guide you through that part. In a couple of weeks, I'll help you through that, and I'll tell you where I would start if it were me. But I just want you to understand, we're not going to grow if we don't sow. Number three, you have to invest some time. I hate to keep using the analogy of our garden, but the problem with our garden isn't that we don't have a green thumb. In fact, sorry guys, those of you who say, I would do a garden, but I just don't have a green thumb, what you're really saying is, I would grow a garden, but I'm really not willing to invest the time in making it happen, because seeds grow in your ground just like they do my ground. Not very well, because I don't invest the time. Stop using excuses. You're not going to grow if you don't invest time in growth. You're not just going to wake up one day and be completely transformed and changed. In fact, the scripture says that every day we should offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable, right? He tells us that we're not to be conformed to the world, but listen to this next word. But transformed, which takes work. You're going to have to invest some time. And I have another slide here, but I don't know what it's doing there. Number four, daily care is required. It's not just some time, it's daily time. Scripture says that Paul says that he buffets his body daily. In other words, he says he beats his body daily. He is daily engaged in the activity of growing. He is daily engaged in doing the things necessary to develop these skills that he's looking for. Okay, so you perfectionists, will you listen to me for just a second? I know you. Say this with me. I don't have to start on Monday. Say it. I don't have to start on Monday just because it looks prettier and your calendar works better. I don't have to start on Monday. This is really important because inevitably you'll miss Monday and Monday doesn't come for another 7 days. Here's the second thing about this daily thing for my perfectionists. If I miss a day, I can start again the next day. I can start again that day if I miss my morning. Just, I know, that's crazy. And I'm not picking on just you, because I'll tell you, I have been working on my weight loss, right? I've been working out, I've been doing the things I can do. I am the world's worst that if I eat something that is not in my diet, I believe it is my excuse, permission, to eat whatever I want the rest of that day. Do y'all feel that? You're like, I already messed it up anyway. Don't approach it this way. Daily care is required, and it doesn't matter. You know, some days you're just going to be inundated with all kinds of commitment and doing, and some days you're just going to be able to touch it for a second. But daily care is necessary for you to cultivate this growth that you're looking for. And then finally, avoid discouragement. I planted, Apollos watered. Everybody tell me who gives the increase. God gives the increase. How many of you have seen the movie Field of Dreams? Seen that? I love that movie. And I love it for one line. And it's the famous line. If you build it, they will come. Y'all know the line? It's kind of creepy, actually. If you build on it, you will increase. God will increase you. Let me clarify, just because I know some people out there will hear this lesson and be like, well, the reason I'm where I'm at is because I'm just a terrible person and I don't do these things I'm supposed to do. Yes, but the reason you're not where you're at, the reason you're not where you want to be, really isn't that you're a terrible person. It's just you simply haven't started. If you started and left your garden to just grow up with all kinds of weeds, let's go clean out the weeds and let's start. It takes little things. For some of you, you need to read a whole lot more than you do, and for some of you, you just need to start reading, and that's okay. For some of you, you need to pray a lot more than you do, and for some of you, you just need to pray. This isn't about quantity. It's about just getting there, because when God gives you the increase, you know what else He'll increase? He'll increase your resolve, too. If you'll commit a little bit, God will transform you. It's just true. It's not a hope against hope. It's a hope because of the provision and promises of God. I want to leave you with this passage. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Isn't that a beautiful passage? Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Some of you are doing stuff in your life trying to achieve a result you still haven't gotten. That's not going to happen in your quest to serve the living God. You start moving and He will move you. Doesn't make you the initiator. He is the initiator. He's already moved your heart. Now it's time for you to move your feet and your heart and your arms and your legs and everything else and get them on board with what God has been doing in your life. If you're convicted by this, I want to encourage you. One of the things you can do, I'm going to give you a shameless plug here. We do Bible studies on Wednesday nights at 7 and Sunday mornings at 9:30. Guess what? You can come. It's a good idea. It's a good way for you to get connected. We have a women's ministry that happened yesterday that was well attended. It was pretty awesome. It looked like y'all had a good time. It wouldn't let me come, so we had the women's ministry yesterday. We have pastor's coffee. There are ways for you to start this journey. Get connected. If you're having trouble, connect to somebody that can help you. Get a partner that you can be accountable to and encourage one another every day. There are things you can do to cultivate your life. But I want to remind you, because I want to remind you as I do this whole series, growth is intentional. It'll never happen accidentally. Amen? I don't know where you're at in your life. Maybe you haven't grown because you haven't actually done the first thing you need to do, which is to give your life completely to a Savior who loves you. And I want to talk to you. If you're in the audience, I want to talk to you for a second. A lot of times, we get lost in the idea that what God did or what God is doing is trying to make us better people. In other words, less mean, nicer, dotting all our I's, crossing all our T's. That is not why our Savior died on the cross. Here's why the Savior died on the cross. Because you're dead. Dead in your sins and your transgressions. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. There is no other way. I know we live in a culture where we like to have multiple options. When it comes to your salvation, there's only one way. And that is through the sacrificial death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you've never embraced that, I'm going to promise you that all you're cultivating to achieve this moral life you're seeking will be met with a lot of hostile energy. It doesn't mean you can't be a good person. You can't be a nice person if you don't know Christ. What it means is you'll never be a good person, because you need His goodness to ever be called good before God. If you've never given your life to Christ, we want to encourage you to do that. It's the only reason I'm here. I am not a good person. I'm really not. I am messed up on the inside and out, but I have been redeemed by the blood of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so therefore before my God I stand justified by His actions. And if it weren't for that, I am nothing and I am lost. Maybe you've been on this road before and you've given your life to Christ at one time, but you've completely left it behind. And your life is just fine without Him. Is it though? Maybe it's time for you to come back and give your life to Him again. If you've never given your life to Christ, today is the day of your salvation. Make the decision for Him. If you still have questions, then make the decision that today you're going to get those questions answered. And if you need to return and recommit your life to Christ, we want to give you that opportunity today as well. So if you want prayer, we're going to have people both in the back and in the front ready to pray over you. Don't let fear stop you, because fear is a tool of the enemy, and he's certainly not your friend. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank You so, so, so much for the precious blood of Your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank You that You have promised us that You will give the increase. Help us to be waterers and planters. Help us to remember the things that we've talked about today. Help us to realize that we need to decide, who do we really want to be? Do we want to be a child of God or a child of this world? Help us to determine that a child of God is wrought with all kinds of benefits, like we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We praise You for this, and we love You for this. Father, if there's anybody here who's been teetering, trying to decide whether or not You are worthy of their acclamation, of their adoration and their praise, Father, I pray that today You prick their hearts and they come to realize that nothing but the blood of Jesus can rescue them. And if there's people here today who've been wandering and they want to come home, help them to understand that just like the prodigal son, what's waiting for them is a father with open arms, ready to receive them and call them their child, and put the golden ring on their finger and the coat around their back. Father, I just pray that we realize that we serve such an awesome God that You are. And we know that Your Son's blood was enough, and that on that cross He finished His work. Help us to embrace that and love that and cultivate our lives around that. We praise You and love You in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.